From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live at 24th and Valencia.
I live in the Outer Sunset by the beach.
I listen to KALW from the Panhandle for the last 12 years.
Coming up, we'll hear about the high price of phone calls for people in jail and what two county sheriff's departments are doing about it.
Families that we work with have definitely expressed to us that they are having to choose between groceries or phone calls.
Then we'll hear one inmate's personal story of staying connected with his family on the outside.
In that moment, my heartbeat was the only sound I heard. The volume increased with every ring of the telephone.
And we'll reveal the answer to this week's Audiograph Mystery Sound. We're reaching out and making contact today on Cross Currents. When most of us talk on the phone, we don't think much about the cost. It's generally pennies. If we don't like a phone company or can't afford a plan, it's not too difficult to ditch the one we have and get a new one. Bottom line, talk is cheap for most of us. But for the 80,000 people in California's county jails, a phone call can cost more than a dollar a minute. Some argue that pricey phone calls are just another consequence for those serving time. But others, including some law enforcement professionals, say it's counterintuitive to make inmate communication so difficult because family connections actually help people from reoffending. KALW's Suki Lewis reports on the cost of staying in touch.
Filiberto Fuentes is an inmate at the West County Detention Facility in Richmond.
One of my sons, you know, second month I was here, tried to commit suicide. So the phone calls are very important.
He's been in jail for 9 months for drug charges. He talks to his kids on the phone every other week.
They want me to be there for them physically, but unfortunately, I can only verbally and through letters.
A 15-minute phone call to his family usually costs Fuentes over $10. Fuentes, like most inmates in county jails across the state, can pay for a phone call in one of three ways.
Hello?
Mobile tell.
Collect call.
I have a collect call from inmates at West County Detention Facility.
Prepay or debit.
We accept Visa and MasterCard.
Talk isn't cheap from behind bars. Making a call from jail can cost 400% more than an average phone call.
The counties that run the jails and the states that have departments of correction will put out to bid for phone system services.
That's Alex Kushtura, legal director of the Prison Policy Initiative, a national nonprofit that does research on mass incarceration. She's explaining that when companies bid for a contract to provide phone services, they tack on a commission. So, a portion of the rate for an inmate's phone call actually goes back into the county's pocket.
The commissions requested by the counties are ever-growing, and there's an ever-growing decoupling then from the actual cost of the call.
These commission rates vary county to county, but they can be as much as 80% of the cost of calls. Now, a couple of Bay Area counties are starting to put a stop to these climbing rates. In San Francisco, Sheriff Ross Mercurimi says he pushed hard to get the phone rates lowered and succeeded.
We're looking for a new floor and a new ceiling that is trending downward in terms of profit so that we're not, in my opinion, double taxing poor people.
The cost came down in San Francisco to about $4 for a 15-minute call. Mercurimi says making phone calls affordable is a balancing act, since lowering the cost of calls means less funding for the sheriff's department. And Mercurimi isn't the only sheriff who's rethinking how much inmates are charged for calls. Across the bay in West County, the Contra Costa Sheriff's Assistant, Matt Schuler, says he'd like to see change too, but he's stuck between a rock and a hard place.
We're not here to gouge the inmate population. We're not taking the money and spending it on, you know, upgrades for the, you know, the staff here. All the upgrades to the facilities are for the betterment of the inmates.
Schuler says everything from inmate benches to GED programs and chaplains are paid for, at least in part, by inmate phone calls. Contra Costa Supervisor John Joya explains the conundrum.
We need to make sure that we're providing people who are in jail
the best opportunity to be successful when they're released. And that's why the programs in the jail are important. But this relationship where they're funded through increased cost to phone calls is really sort of a contorted, weird relationship, because you want calls to be less expensive, so there's better quality contact between people in jail and their families.
Joya says the solution would be more revenue to replace the commissions they rely on. Mercurimi did this in San Francisco with a $1 million judgment from a phone company that was overcharging for calls and underpaying commissions. But new revenue isn't easy to come by.
So that's the dilemma. That's the catch-22.
Soon, counties may not have a choice but to lower rates. Recently, the FCC stepped in. The government organization that regulates communication capped state-to-state calls. The agency is also considering regulating the cost of in-state calls. I reached out to the two telecommunications giants, Global Tel Link and Securus, who together control about 80% of the inmate phone services market. But they declined to comment. Again, Sheriff Mercurimi.
The telephone company service that provides telephone communication for prison systems and county jails has largely been an unregulated activity for decades.
Mercurimi says another reason why calls need to be cheaper is to improve public safety by lowering recidivism.
Typically, I think it's not just the inmates that are shouldering the burden of coping with a family member being incarcerated, but it's the people outside, the families and their children, who are also having to take responsibility for those costs.
Christina Mansfield is an inmate rights activist. She met with me outside of City Hall in San Francisco. She says she's seen the way companies boost their profits with exorbitant fees.
There are all sorts of ridiculous policies, surcharges, $8.75 simply to make a $25 deposit. And that's not a one-time setup fee, that's an every-time fee. They will not disclose rates over the phone in some cases. And they will not issue receipts of any kind to show that you've paid.
Mansfield says dropped phone calls are also a big problem. And when a call gets dropped, reconnection fees add up quickly.
Thank you for calling GTO's Advanced Automated Payment System for prepaid customers.
Si mi esposo ponía, pongamos, $50.
My husband would deposit $50, and I would go in, and they would only let us talk to our loved ones over the phone for about 5 or 6 minutes, and then we'd have to go back to our cell. And then when I would go back, the balance would go down all the way to $15.
Rita, who declined to give her last name, was held in immigration detention earlier this year at West County for about 3 months. The 39-year-old mother of four describes the tough choices her husband made while she was inside.
My kids would want to go to like McDonald's or Chuck E. Cheese or want to spend some time with their dad when I wasn't there. But my husband would choose to be able to give some money to me.
Rita's family lived in a shelter in Richmond, but her kids were in school and her husband was trying to find work. She says she relied on those phone calls.
I needed those calls because when I was arrested and detained, you become disconnected from the world.
For now, counties in California are wrestling with the problem of high phone rates by themselves. But soon that might change. This year, a bill was introduced that could have banned using phone commissions to pay for jail programs. So it looks like the momentum in California might be shifting. And if the state doesn't take action, the FCC might step in. But until then, counties and inmates are stuck on hold.
You have selected to make a deposit. If this is correct, press 1.
For Crass Currents, I'm Suki Lewis.
Do you think inmates should have access to cheaper phone calls? Or are high-cost calls just part of being incarcerated? Tell us what you think at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106.
Hey, you know what?
The
This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. In the United States, we incarcerate more people than any other country in the world. More than 2 million people nationwide. About 130,000 of those inmates are housed in California prisons. To bring us stories from inside those walls, KALW has teamed up with the San Quentin Prison Report to bring you radio pieces produced by the inmates themselves.
The San Quentin Prison Report.
SQPR is a media collective of prisoners and volunteers from the community working together to give voice to personal growth, social transformation, and restorative justice.
In this piece, inmate Troy Williams talks about keeping up a tough facade during the most painful moments. And a note to our listeners, the media lab in San Quentin is in the old laundry facilities, and every so often, the rusty pipes become part of the audio landscape. Here's Williams.
The last time I cried was the day after my parole was denied. But it was not the denial of freedom that brought me to tears. Imagine having 15 minutes to get on the phone and attempt to explain to your child, year after year after year, why you're not coming home. Not knowing how I would say what needed to be said, I stepped into the prison phone booth and called home. As I dialed the phone number, I imagined my daughter sitting on a couch in her apartment complex, anxiously awaiting my call. The prison facility where I'm housed sort of looks like an apartment complex. It's a 5-story building of miniature cells situated inside a gigantic cube called North Block. Over 800 incarcerated men live there. A series of 12 1970s-style phone booths are situated on one side of the building, and I was assigned a time slot in booth 8. Normally, there are crowds of men hanging out on the tiers and by the phone booths, talking so loud it's hard to hear. I saw the crowd of men, but could not hear their voices. In that moment, my heartbeat was the only sound I heard. The volume increased with every ring of the telephone. And then she answered.
Hello?
A computer-generated voice quickly interrupted with a pre-programmed message.
This is Global Tellink. You have a prepaid call from
Troy,
an inmate at the California State Prison, San Quentin, California. This call and your telephone number will be recorded and monitored. To accept this call, say yes or press 5.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
I could hear my daughter fumbling with the phone.
Hello?
Hey, baby, how you doing?
I'm okay, but what happened?
I was denied.
Why?
I was lost for words. My mind flashed back to a letter my daughter wrote when she was 8 years old.
When I'm sad, I say, God, please, just let my daddy out of jail. I'm about to cry right now.
And here she is, 15 years later, still pleading for her daddy to come home.
Why won't they let you come home?
Stuck in what seems like the infinite ripple of a rock cast into a body of water many years ago. I thought to myself, what sort of prison have I put my child in? A stream of tears rushed up as if they were going to explode from my eyes, but I held back the tears like a dam holding back a river.
How many days have gone by? How many tears have we cried?
I felt that if I allowed my daughter to hear me cry, that it would cause her to lose hope of ever reuniting with her father in the free world. So I reinforced the dam with thoughts of penitentiary toughness. Don't cry, baby. Everything is going to be okay. In an attempt to comfort her, I began to lay out a laundry list of options. I'll petition for a rehearing. I'll write a writ of habeas corpus. I'll be okay. Just don't you worry. By that time, our 15-minute phone call was almost over. We said our goodbyes, and I was able to tell her that I loved her before the phone automatically hung up. No sooner than I placed the receiver back on the cradle, the dam burst. The river of regret began to flow.
My life is not the same. Living here on my own.
But I have to pay for my mistakes.
The environment I grew up in taught me to believe my physical safety depended on aggression, and that my emotional safety depended on the suppression of tears. I was 10 years old when I had my first fight. In fact, my mother forced me to have it.
If you don't beat that boy's I'm gonna beat your and then I'm gonna tell your father to beat your when he gets home.
The point is that I learned at an early age that it was safe to be aggressive and violent. But the moment I showed a tear, it was seen as a sign of weakness and I was preyed upon. Now, here I am in prison, trying to overcome a lifetime of conditioning. I attempted to hide any evidence of my perceived weakness. I turned, faced the wall, and tried to hide as I used my t-shirt to wipe the tears away. I thought, perhaps I could make it back to the cell before anyone noticed. As I exited the phone booth, a guy I knew was walking past.
Hey, how's it going? Is everything all right?
I paused and looked at him with caution. The look in his eyes told me that he had swam beneath the troubled waters of the mask I still wore. The tone in his voice told me there was no judgment in his question. Perhaps it was the sincerity of his concern. Perhaps I was just tired of holding it all inside. I shook my head and said, "No, man, I'm not."
I feel you, man.
Not another word was spoken. I simply turned around and headed back to my cell.
That was Troy Williams, director of the San Quentin Prison Report. He's waiting for news of his release date and is expecting to be paroled this year. To hear more stories from San Quentin, visit our website, kalw.org. Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. And now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. Here's Audiograph's Julie Kane to bring you the answer to this week's mystery sound.
All week long, we've been playing you this sound.
This marks the second day of our celebration honoring the Blessed Mother, who is the patroness of the fishmen.
We asked you what that was and where you think we recorded it. To bring us the answer, we sent KALW's Christina Loring to a parade in North Beach.
My name is Frank Lavin, and we are at Saints Peter and Paul Church for the Festival of La Madonna del Lume, which is a festival that comes from Porticello, Sicily, and has happened here in San Francisco at Saints Peter and Paul and at Fisherman's Wharf the last 79 years.
My name is Rosanna Tarantino Cresci, the president of the Madonna del Lume. I was born here in North Beach. I became president when my mom passed away, and my mom took the reins from my grandmother, who was Rosa Tarantino.
All of the immigrants were leaving Sicily, coming to America, and a lot of them made their living by fishing. So they settled here, they brought with them their customs.
It's a heritage that we have, a Sicilian heritage, and when you're born into it, you can't get it out. I marched the first parade when I was 3 years old.
Madonna del Lume is a devotion to Mary, the Mother of God. Del Lume means of the light. The way the legend goes,
there were four fishermen that were lost at sea.
And they were scared.
The ocean is dangerous, very dangerous.
And they prayed. So they poured out their hearts, they poured out the trust to the Madonna. And lo and behold, they saw a light. When they got to the shore, there was no lighthouse. There was no reason, there was no, you know, anyone holding up lights, but there was a picture of the Madonna on the shore, and they knew that she had sent the light.
Con la bandiera italiana, avanti! Now that we are all gathered, I want to welcome everyone to Fishman Seaman Memorial Chapel and to the wharf. It's the Fisherman's Wharf. All those little boats you see, those 13 acres of waterway, it's their home, their home. Close your eyes and pray that all will be safe for those who go out to sea.
Luna Christian, what's going on, y'all?
Prega per noi Maria, prega per figli tuoi.
I just love that sound, but nobody got this one right. Don't feel bad, though. We're going to have another sound and story for you next week. Here's a sneak listen to our next mystery sound.
Okay, come here.
Was that a giggle?
Yes.
I wonder how often people hear them giggle at zoos.
Hi, guys.
Think you know what that is and where we recorded it? Give us a call at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. We'll tell you the story behind the sound next Thursday on Cross Currents. To find out more, head to our website, kalw.org, click on Audiograph. Thanks for listening, and thanks for playing. I'm Julie Kane.
And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News. Our team includes Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Sandhya Dirks, Rachel Dornhelm, Colin Peden, Seth Samuel, Judy Silber, Raja Shah, and Todd Whitney. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Our managing editor is Jen Sheehan. Our managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. And you are a big part of our show, and we love to hear from you. So email us at news@kalw.org, or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at KALW. Because of you, we can proudly say we are listener-supported public radio.
Down at the bottom, near those lonesome stones.
Erica, Rachel, and Chloe Teachin started making up songs at their grandparents' house when they were little. Today, as the T Sisters, these East Bay singers have an album that reached number 11 on the Americana radio chart. The T Sisters will be singing on Thursday, October 23rd, when they play at Slim's in San Francisco. All the details are at KALW.org. Click on Cross Currents. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
Not gonna wait no more.
Yeah, he said.
Not gonna wait.
Not gonna wait.
I'm gonna go.